When we were children, there lived in our neighborhood a very, very private woman. We knew that her name was Myrna, and we never saw her. The only way she came or went from her house was in her car through her garage. She had landscapers, so we never saw her out in the yard. And she had a sign in front of her house that said, "No trespassing and no solicitors." We wondered if no solicitors also meant no trick-or-treaters on Halloween. The older kids in the neighborhood began to develop a sort of legend around Myrna because she was so private and so secretive that there must be something wrong. So they said of Myrna that she probably gave Santa Claus coal for Christmas and that in her kitchen she probably had a recipe to cook the Easter Bunny. Because their language on her was so fierce, we only imagined the worst. Until one day we were riding our Stingray bicycles with the handlebar, the banana sub handlebars and seat. And as we came near her driveway, a car pulled up with a family and children. As the children came out, we wanted to scream, "Go away, this is Myrna's house." But who came out the front door? Myrna. And what did the children scream? "Grandma." And they ran into her loving arms. We ran home and said to our mother, "Can you imagine Myrna has grandchildren?" And my mother said, "What did you expect? She's just like us." When we hear in Matthew's gospel the followers of Jesus running to the prophet John the Baptist, confused because somehow the messianic prophecy does not fit their category of what the Messiah should be, Jesus says to them, "What did you come here to see?" Almost like children with a preconceived notion concocted by uninformed elders, those first hearers of the prophet did not recognize Christ in their midst. We have a beautiful reading today from the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah is really the poet of Advent. If you are a fan of Handel's Messiah or any of the Advent narratives, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain shall be made low, the crooked path shall be made straight, are very consoling words, poetic, especially when set to music. And today's prophecy adds to that libretto. But it seems that the prophet, while heralding God's work in the earth and bringing life out of creation, recognizes a certain human weakness. How does the prophet Isaiah describe us? The prophet describes us as weak-kneed and a feeble heart. The prophet describes us as being perhaps blind, deaf, mute, and lame, and then promises to come with vindication and not only recompense, only just recompense, but divine recompense. What is this vindication? What is this recompense? And what is this hope that we celebrate on this third Sunday of Advent, this Gaudete Sunday, when we as a people are to rejoice in our joyful expectation of the Lord's coming? Sometimes in this period of Advent, we sometimes want more than the Lord to come. We want the Lord to come and fulfill our agenda. We have a list of things that the coming of Christ has to accomplish, and we sometimes focus only on that. I have been away for a few months. I haven't seen you, not because I didn't want to be here at Holy Trinity, but because I was called to serve at our Jesuit General Congregation in Rome, which met from the beginning of August until mid-November. It's the 36th time the Jesuits have done this in our 475-year history. And having gone through 6 weeks of it, I can see why we do it only 36 times in 475 years. Putting 215 Jesuits from 60 countries in a room together to form and write a decree is really almost like a faculty meeting gone bad or a family reunion that we never want to remember. We were mid-congregation
And we had elected a new superior general. That peace went prayerfully and full of hope. And now we were writing a decree on our life and mission and how to respond to all the pressing needs of the world. Being a global order, there were so many needs. And 215 people couldn't come to agreement, couldn't come to consensus. And we noticed that on October 24th, Pope Francis was going to come and meet with us. And we put all of our hopes on that visit. We said, certainly Pope Francis has written Amoris Laetitiae, Evangelium Gaudium, Laudato Si, is going to have a definitive document for us that's just going to pave the way, light the course for the future. And so, of course, the day came, and he came in his little Volkswagen up the ramp, and we were all dressed up, ready for him. We had all brought tons of, you know, rosaries and religious artifacts to say he blessed them. I remember someone even asking him, can we bring things to be blessed? And he said, with his sense of humor, certainly, but it will cost you €100. But he came as one, and he addressed us. And his address was moving, but it wasn't what we wanted. He told us who we were. He took us back to the charism of St. Ignatius Loyola, the founding companions who first set out with hearts ablaze to go and evangelize and bring consolation and hope to the world. He even entered into a closed-door dialogue, which he has since published, to take our questions and to give us answers. But as he left, we said, he did not come here to tell us what to do. He came and told us who we are. And then said, knowing who you are, now open your hearts to the Holy Spirit. Open your hearts to God, who will show you the way. Who is the Christ we await this Christmas? As we look at some of the global turmoil, as we look at the violence of this past summer, as we look at political uncertainties, as we look at humanitarian crises, we begin to draft our list of what the Lord needs to do, how God must respond to the pressing times. But we must never forget that God, out of love for us, comes in the most humble of forms, as an infant, to show how dependent God is on our faith, our conviction, our labor, and our hope. Let us rejoice this Gaudete Sunday in joyful expectation of the coming of the Lord. And let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our will so that we can be the agents of light, salvation, and hope in a new year.